Good evening. ICANN 62, excuse me. Thursday, June 28th. Last meeting. High interest session. RDS, who is to review?
I'd like to welcome you to the RDS Who Is To Review Team reporting session. My name is Alan Greenberg. I am the chair of the review team, and I have with me on the panel a number of our members, plus Susan Kawaguchi, who is also one of the vice chairs. If we could have the first slide. Can we have our, there we go. Thank you very much. Pushing the button is supposed to make it advance, but it doesn't seem to work. Perfect. Thank you very much. What we have planned is a whirlwind, very fast review of essentially the items that we've been looking at in the review team. The review team convened about 8 months ago. We'll look at the timeline in some detail. And we'll be looking at the items that we've been looking at, understand, trying to present the objectives, the methodology, and a summary of what our findings are in each of the areas and whether we are going to be making any recommendations. We hope to be able to finish the presentation in about the first half of the session and leave half of it for questions and answers. The review team is made up of 11 people, so it's a moderately lean review team, and with representation from the ALAC, the GAC, the GNSO, and the ICANN board, the other parts of the organization decided not to participate in this review, which partially explains the small size of the team. Ah, okay. Sorry, we're going a little bit ahead of ourselves. I thought there were different slides. No? Okay. So there are a number of issues that are either in the bylaws for the first item or were suggested by the community as we proceeded that we have decided not to look at. But these slides seem out of order. Excuse me while I go through them, because there were three slides that don't seem to have been there.
You lost some slides?
There seems to be some missing.
Shall I look at the slides again?
All right. Luckily, I have copies in front of me. Well, maybe I'll skip ahead and see somehow they... I don't know how they could have gotten out of order. Okay, I've now finished half the presentation. Okay, there are slides missing, so we're going to just wing it. I hope the presentation is linked to the session. Excuse me while I put my glasses on. The objectives of the review were to assess the overall review as to assess the implementation of who is recommendations and evaluate to what extent that is the who is one recommendations and evaluate to what extent they were implemented and how effective they were being. So there was the first review team created a number of recommendations, and our first task is to see did ICANN follow the recommendations of the first review team. We looked at all of the changes to who is, and there have been a significant number of changes, largely associated with PDPs and other actions since the last Who Is review team convened. And we were tasked with evaluating essentially to what extent did these other changes impact the effectiveness of Who Is, and do we need to make any recommendations on those? There are a number of issues that are both in the bylaws, in the original affirmation of commitments review, and in the new bylaws, because the review was transferred into the bylaws with the account when the accountability changes were made. And we were asked to assess whether the legitimate needs of law enforcement are being met by Who Is, whether it promotes consumer trust, and a new one that was added in the bylaws, whether it safeguards registrant data. We looked carefully at what was required, and we also added one or two things. That is on slide 7. And that is slide 7.
Oh, well, this is my slide 7.
And that, why don't you turn your machine around to show them what they missed. One of the items that we decided to add for ourselves was to assess whether contractual compliance is operating. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble reading my own writing with my glasses. To assess the effectiveness and transparency of ICANN's enforcement of existing policy through contractual compliance. And the last item is one that we haven't done yet, is the bylaws give us the right to recommend to the board to change the bylaw. That is, if we find things in the bylaw that we think don't make sense to us and shouldn't be done in the future, then we have we can make a recommendation. That's something we're going to be doing towards the end.
Oh. Just had to wait for it to load.
Maybe we should start this session over again. I'm trying. And now my zapper doesn't work anymore.
It's Friday. It's the last day.
Okay. How about if we don't use the zapper and I'll say next slide, please. And I have some plus ones from the staff at the back of the room. All right. There are a number of things that we decided not to do. One of them is in the bylaws. The other ones are issues that were suggested by the community when we started the review. One of the ones in the bylaws was that we should review the OECD guidelines on data privacy and data transport. And we decided not to do that for a number of reasons. First of all, the guidelines are somewhat outdated at this point. We were already starting the saga of GDPR, and we knew that to a large extent ICANN didn't obey any of these, and things were going to be changing. So it seemed like a rather useless exercise to go through that process, since it wouldn't really be result in any effective recommendations that we could make. It was also suggested along the way that we review the RDAP protocol, the existing Who Is protocol, do a comprehensive review of how GDPR is going to impact us, and review the GDPR implementation. The first two did not seem to be practical. Again, the existing Who Is protocol, it's going to go. The RDAP protocol is one developed by the IETF, and we didn't consider that we were experts in that area to evaluate a protocol in any case. And the last items, again, were GDPR was something that was going to be in flux for pretty much the whole range of our review team, and it didn't seem to be a practical thing to do at that point. Next slide, please. Um, We were trying to follow best practices in what we're doing, so everything we're doing is open. All of our mailing lists are open. All of our meetings are open. Anyone can watch and submit questions or things like that. We are trying to do everything by consensus, minimize the amount of voting or even poll taking that we're doing. We are trying to do this as a fact-based basis, so we've had lots of briefings, lots of input from ICANN.org, and we are doing our best, or will be doing our best, to formulate recommendations that we think will improve the situation and be implementable and measurable. Next slide. That's a list, essentially our laundry list, of the first items on it are recommendations out of the first WHOIS review team, and there were 16 recommendations. We divided them into groups and assigned them to subgroups within the overall review team. Each subgroup has a rapporteur and somewhere between two and four other members, and having tasked with doing the analysis, doing the initial producing the initial report, and then passing it by the review team. We are now just at the stage where most of the draft reports have been formulated, and the overall review team is just starting to process them and look at them. Next slide. Myle, next slide, please. We have a lot of titles that we're skipping over. They do have URLs that are interesting in them if you want to look at this afterwards. Just in brief summary, the review team was put together in June. We had our first meeting, a face-to-face meeting, in October. We met again in April, and we will be meeting again in the end of July. We are intent, and we believe we'll make it, is at that meeting we will pretty well finalize our draft report in terms of content. It will take a little bit of time to get it physically in shape, but including most of our recommendations, and put that out for public comment. Public comment will terminate, will run from August and September, terminate in October, just a little bit before the Barcelona meeting. We hope to have at least done an initial analysis of the comments, and we will be looking to meet with members of the community and perhaps a public session. We haven't really discussed it in Barcelona. And our intent is to deliver the final report pretty close to the end of the year. Next slide. Just to note, what you're seeing is a work in progress. We'll try to note along the way where we think we have consensus, where we don't have consensus. We'll also note along the way some errors we found in the report just as we're reviewing the slides. So this is very much a work in progress. Next slide, please. And the first recommendation is WHOIS One Strategic Priority, and Carlton Samuels will be taking that one.
Thank you, Alan. I'm doing this for Catherine Bowles, who is the rapporteur for this subgroup. Looking at the strategic priority, the recommendation from the first WHOIS sub-team you see in the slide there in front of you. First one, it should be strategic priority for ICANN, the organization. It should form the basis for staff incentivization along with the CIOs and the organizational objectives in the strategic plan. And the board should create a committee that includes the CEO to be responsible for prioritizing and the key actions associated with the WHOIS implementation. The committee of the board should be responsible for the implementation, fulfillment of the data accuracy objectives, and monitoring and compliance in keeping with the recommendations. And, of course, they should issue frequent updates on the progress towards implementation. Next slide. So the subgroup reviewed the recommendations and look at the implementation along with the recommendations. And we made some findings. The findings were that the organization, the board, have clearly taken a number of steps towards implementation of the recommendations and the creation of the board working group as one main area. And there is a lot of actions recorded, and especially in compliance with data accuracy. We feel that the information that is available to us for the recommendation with terms of data protection is simply not enough for us to make any major recommendations there. Next slide. Based on the analysis of the data and the outcomes, we thought that the Who Is One recommendation was only partially implemented, because the implementation largely remain unfulfilled in terms of monitoring the improvements to Who Is. We also found that the board working group got off to a late start, and maybe that was one way that the monitoring and the recommendations did not follow the recommendations of the first Who Is team. We feel that while there was some evidence and some progress, they were still a little off in terms of making it truly a strategic priority, because we didn't see advanced planning for the issues. And one instance, of course, is the current situation with GDPR. So, to address these issues, the subgroup drafted the following recommendations. If you go to the recommendation slide, please, which is like three slides down. Draft recommendation: the ICANN board should update the charter of its board working group and RDS to include forward-looking planning based on a regular assessment of the RDS's fitness to meet legal requirements and legitimate user needs as outlined in the bylaws. And this is just a placeholder. The subgroup has actually met, and we still don't have consensus on this recommendation.
If we could interrupt, this slide 18 we want to be on right now.
Yes, so there's a recommendation. As I was saying, it is not fully implemented because the consensus is still not in the subgroup that looked at the strategic priority. Can I just go on now to the recommendation two?
Yeah. Carlton will handle it. I think we're going to have to pick up the speed a little bit, or we're going to be here all night.
So recommendation two. This one has to do with the single Who Is policy, and that subgroup. I'm the rapporteur for that subgroup. Can I look at the slide there? It tells you what the recommendation was. The board should oversee creation of a single Who Is policy document and reference it in all agreements with the contracted parties. And it should be the place to have documented all of the current Who Is policies, both in terms of the contracts, existing contract, as well as in the GNSO consensus policies and procedure. The finding of the subgroup: we do have a web page that contains all of the Who Is data. There's a microsite that's available for that. The web page, we believe, is a good substitute for the single document as was defined in the recommendation. and we believe that the board initiated PDP, that's the RDS PDP that has been sequestered or failed. That was put in place to address the next generation PDP is a good indication that the board was making some effort to have a single voice policy implemented. Next slide. So the finding is that we have agreed that the recommendation number two, single voice policy, is fully implemented. But we'd just recommend that the page contents and the formats on the website itself could do with some work to improve both the content as well as the navigational aspects of the board. Next thing is the three-phase process framework that we see the board initiated in terms of the RDS PDP that failed. We feel that is a good that's a good program to achieve a single voice policy, and we feel that once it has emerged, we'll have a comprehensive voice policy. And the recommendation you see there is that we are reviewing that recommendation because of what's happening with the GDPR. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton. The next one is mine, and the slide that is on is the correct one right now. Recommendation three was outreach. The recommendation was a relatively short one. Something is whispering in Carlton, sorry. Do you want to turn off your microphone? Sorry.
Are you talking?
No. I was talking, but Carlton's microphone was on. The recommendation was relatively short. ICANN should ensure the WHOIS policy issues are accompanied by cross-community outreach, including outreach to the communities outside of ICANN with a specific interest in the issues and an ongoing program for consumer awareness. The group looked at all of the documentation on the web and other documentation available, and there is a huge amount. The main component of the implementation was to design a new WHOIS information portal that we found was very well implemented. A little bit of problem navigating it, but other than that, the material was at a reasonable level and, in fact, matched a number of different levels depending on how you approached it, and was very effective. Unfortunately, we also found there was a lot of other information about WHOIS on the ICANN website, including some really nice videos and tutorials, which predated the WHOIS portal and did not necessarily match it. So although the WHOIS portal, for instance, implemented a query facility, if you went to another place on the ICANN website, they would tell you, no, don't use that one. Well, they didn't say don't use it. They would say use another one, which was a decade older and not nearly as complete or user-friendly. And the previous information had not been upgraded. So there were certainly a number of things like that. Next slide, please. This is one of the typos I mentioned. No. Next. The slide number we want is number 24. Correct. No. Yes, now it's correct. The information providing parts of the recommendation were, we found, to be fully implemented. The part that was not implemented, in our view, was outreach to parts of the community not normally associated with ICANN. An example, data commissioners. One has to hypothesize what might have happened if we spent 5 years educating data commissioners. on who is over the last 5 years. But so overall, it has been implemented, with the exception of specific non-ICANN outreach. Next slide, please. We have two recommendations. One that is all of the information related to who is and associated registrant information. From our perspective, who is a very unique subject and you know, must be covered well. But from a registrant's point of view, it's only one component of the overall information they have to deal with. So we are recommending that essentially all registrant data be revised to be made consistent and to reflect the reality at that time. We do note, however, that it should not be done until our GDPR implementation is somewhat stabilized. There's no point in trying to document the things that are in flux at the moment. But once things are stabilized, there does need to be a complete revision. Some of it may not change, but it needs to all be integrated and work well together. The second recommendation addresses the part of outreach to other parts of the community. We don't know exactly what WHOIS is going to look like 2 years from now. There may well be very little information available. If there's very little information available to people, there's no point in telling them to look at it. So we feel that ICANN needs to do a careful evaluation, including members of the community, not just internal, to review what can be accessed, how to access it, how to get perhaps how to be accredited to access it in our new world, and consider to what extent they need to do outreach to non-traditional parts of the community. Examples might be law enforcement, consumer protection agencies, or for that matter, registrants themselves, to tell them how their data might be used, which is an important aspect in the post-GDPR world. And that one, I believe, finishes recommendation three. Recommendation four on compliance goes to Susan Karaguchi, who is one of the vice chairs of the group. I'll note that it didn't make a lot of sense to have two groups working on compliance, one working on the WHOIS one implementation and the other on new issues. So the subgroups were merged, and what you'll see is a composite of both the evaluation of the previous one plus new things we're looking at. Susan?
Thank you, Alan. So we reviewed the WHOIS one recommendation number four, which basically, and you can see it written there, is it talks about best practice principles, full transparency, resourcing structure, annual reports, and appointing a senior executive whose sole responsibility would be to oversee and manage ICANN's compliance function and reporting to a board committee. And then, as Alan stated, that we took a look at the what's happened since, and we had an objective for that. Can you go to the next slide, 28, please? So, with the WHOIS one recommendation, we found that the compliance team has made significant progress in reporting metrics and data in their annual report. They have comprehensive reports that they publish on time. And it appears that the compliance team has all the necessary resources to manage compliance activities. Personally, I was on the WHOIS review team one, and I definitely could see that the compliance team had grown significantly since 2012 when that report was published. But there is no indication that the recommended reporting structure was implemented. So the reporting structure, the intention of the WHOIS one recommendation was to ensure the role had the independence needed to perform the compliance function without restriction from the rest of the organization. We do not see that, but we're still looking into that. So the subgroup further identified other issues. Whether or not it's feasible to adhere to the intentions of the WHOIS one reporting structure, we did have a little bit of a discussion about whether or not ICANN org employee can report to a board committee. So, and there were a few things in the who is inaccuracy report data that was not clear. And that the compliance team does not utilize available information for proactive assessment and enforcement. So a few, let's go to slide 29, a few just key points. And in this, for this review, we did not review the latest ARS report. It just came out a few weeks ago. And so this review does not include that. So some of these stats could change. But you can see on the first one, it seems to be there's a lot of ARS tickets are created, and then they're closed before a first notice was sent out. We're not sure exactly why on that. And 40% of the Who Is ARS domain names that are sampled are grandfathered domain names and are not required to adhere to the 2013 RAA. So this doesn't relate to whether or not the registrar has signed on to the 2013 RAA. And so we still have a large number of GTLDs, legacy GTLDs, that are not complying to the same requirements. And so just to sort of speed it up here, the bulk submission tool, it only has 10 users are approved, and it seemed like only 3 actually used it. That might be more, if there was outreach on that, there might be more use of that. And once again, the compliance team does little in proactive actions. And there's at least one new policy, the consistent labeling and display policy. There are no statistics we could gather from the compliance team on that. So let's go to slide 30. Let's make sure we're on the same page. We also found some issues with suspended and domain names that the Who Is record will, these are domain names that are suspended due to inaccurate data. Sometimes the registrant chooses not to fix that data, and the domain name is suspended. That inaccurate data resides in the Who Is record for a long period of time and may or may not be unsuspended at any moment, so we're concerned about that. And then of those 40% of domain names that were registered and grandfathered in, what the grandfathering does not require that all the registrant field data is collected. And that dates back to the 2009 RAA, and that could be problematic. Africa and Latin America appear to be underrepresented in the number of inaccuracy submissions. And so there might be an educational point there. Users who might benefit from the bulk submission tool may not be aware of it. And opportunities are missed to find systemic issues by the compliance team. So we have several draft recommendations. One is to require all new policies implemented to be measured, audited, tracked, and enforced by the compliance team. Another one, require all domain registrations to adhere to the Who Is requirements in the 2013 RAA. And I'm just sort of speeding through these. Let's go to 32. Sorry. Domain names suspended due to inaccurate information and remain in that state until it is due for renewal. The Who Is record should be updated to a new status and the inaccurate data removed. Conducted another recommendation, conduct additional outreach and education on how to file a Who Is inaccuracy report and what information is critical to provide. And publicize and encourage use of the bulk Who Is inaccuracy tool. Review the Who Is ARS domain name sampled for each region to determine whether or not low submission rates to the Who Is inaccuracy reporting tool are due to the lack of knowledge of the tool or other critical factors. And then draft recommendation 7. This one has not reached consensus, so we're still working on this recommendation. following a valid who is ARS ticket or who is inaccuracy complaint, initiate a full audit targeting the relating registrar to check if the registrar follows the contractual obligations, the consensus policies, et cetera. Sanctions should be applied if deficiencies identified. And the last one, direct contractual compliance to proactively monitor and enforce to address systemic issues. A risk-based approach should be executed to assess and understand inaccuracy issues and then take the appropriate compliance actions to mitigate risk in systemic complaints. The DAR data is an additional resource. The compliance team has not currently included, is not currently included in their research and analysis. The use of DAR data would provide a different perspective for the compliance team, and that data is used globally to add to the security and stability of the internet. So that's it on compliance. There was a lot of work there that we did, and we still have some more work to go.
Thank you very much, Susan. We're apparently much better at scheduling the work of the review team than scheduling a presentation. We will try to keep it moving as we go forward. The compliance one is the longest one, however. The next one is data accuracy, and we'll go to Erica Mann.
Apologies. I'm replacing Lily Soon here, so I can make this short. I will only talk about two slides, and we skip all the rest. So whoever is showing here the stuff, please go to page 35, which leads us directly to the recommendation. So number five is ICANN should ensure that the requirements for accurate WHOIS data are widely and proactively communicated, including to current and prospective registrants, and should use all means available to progress WHOIS accuracy, including any internationalized WHOIS data as an organizational objective. Six, and I will not read all of them, so some of them I will shorten, but just will read those complete so that you have an idea what this group is recommending. ICANN should take appropriate measures to reduce the number of WHOIS registration that fall into the accuracy group, substantial failure and full failure. Next one, recommendation seven, ICANN shall produce and publish an accuracy report focused on measures, on measured reduction in WHOIS registrations that fall into the accuracy group, substantial failure and full failure. Practically six and seven go hand in hand. Recommendation eight, ICANN should ensure that there's a clear, unambiguous and enforceable chain of contractual arrangement with registries, registrars, and registrants to require the provision and maintenance of accurate WHOIS data. This might become a topic which might be even more relevant in the future. And then recommendation nine, board should ensure that the compliance team develop metrics to track the impact of the annual WHOIS data reminder policy. And then let's have a quick look at page 38. These are some of the topics the subgroup identified, but you should be aware and you should know that in this subgroup, there's still this debate about some of the topics, how to judge actually a non-accuracy, because there are different viewpoints how you approach the topic, and depending where you stand in this debate, you might have a different observation and different viewpoint. So please take this into consideration. So the subgroup further identified the following issues. The objective of reliable WHOIS data has not been achieved. WHOIS is believed to be largely underreported. Contractual obligations for registrants to provide accurate WHOIS data and for registrars to validate and verify WHOIS data are not properly enforced. And the WHOIS accuracy of domain names that utilize privacy and proxy services is unknown. The action plan indicated that ICANN board offered an alternative approach rather than WDRP to achieve the intended results of recommendation 9, looking back to what I said a while ago, an implementation of recommendation 5 and 7. Again, there is still some debate about this topic. And with this, I give back to Alan.
Thank you very much, Erica. You can tell we're a rather informal group. The next two sections will go to Volker Grayman. The first one is on privacy proxy services, and this one is the perhaps the second longest one, and then a very short one, common interface.
Yes, thank you, Alan. First of all, proxy privacy services. Next slide, please. There has been a recommendation, recommendation number 10. I assume everybody has at some basis when they're interested in this topic. Read this just as a brief summary. This recommendation was intended to provide a basis for regulating a previously unregulated space, making sure that certain basic requirements would be applied and all services would be put in a regime that would be enforceable by ICANN, that would protect both registrants using such services, but also third parties that relied on them. Next slide, please. We looked at the implementations of this recommendation and found that the first step was made in the agreement between ICANN and the registrar constituency for the 2013 RAA, which already regulated certain aspects of such programs. With regard to privacy proxy services that were affiliated with registrars, and as based on that, finally, after a couple of years, accreditation program had been undertaken, had been part of a PDB working group, and this is currently in its final stages of the IRT. This program will also regulate the services of privacy proxy services that are not currently affiliated with registrars or other contracted parties. Based on this analysis, we have found that the recommendation has been fully implemented. However, we identified a certain number of issues. Next slide, please. First of them is that the current plans of implementation foresee a certain cost barrier that seems to some of us rather on the high end, given the services provided by these providers and the benefits such providers derive from such services. Therefore, these costs might form a very high barrier of entry into the accreditation program and either force such services out of business or drive them underground, both would contradict the intent of this program. The original recommendations foresaw a system of incentives and sanctions. Thank you, Carlton. At this point, we only see sanctions and no incentives. Maybe this should be looked at again by ICANN staff. This is not something that the whole IRT has much control over, as this is staff-driven. Another point was that potential abuse of privacy proxy services by a registered name holder. However, we have found no reliable data that would suggest that such names and such services registered through such domain names registered through such services have a higher propensity for abusive registrations. And we find that further study on this topic may be beneficial. Next slide, please. And from that, we derive no recommendations at this time. However, we intend to track the implementation review team progress and consider to make recommendations if necessary at a later stage. Next slide is the next topic already, two slides maybe, which is the common interface. The recommendation basically said that the old Internic interface should be overhauled to provide a better usable interface to make HUAS requests and find information about who is complains, where to make complaints and stuff like that. Instead of overhauling that system, a new system was created, the whois.icon.org website, which basically implemented all the recommendations that were made by the first WHOIS review team. However, we found it curious that the old site was still operated, as Alan has already indicated in his part. So maybe it would have been more beneficial to replace the old site with the new site to make it more easily accessible and understandable that not have two parallel sites by themselves that might confuse the user. There have been certain statistics of usage that we analyze. Next slide. And we found that the recommendation has been fully implemented based on the usage. However, certain issues have been found. Using this new WHOIS site demonstrated that sometimes no results were forthcoming. For example, if a registrar had rate limiting or certain barriers to entry, it might result in a failed lookup. However, ICANN has not implemented any measures to track such incidents, so it was impossible for us to see how prevalent these problems were. We therefore will recommend that certain metrics of use of this service and the results provided by this service be derived so a future review team can look at this and can see how effective this service is. Next slide, please. However, the correct wording, the exact wording of this recommendation is still being worked on. Slide, please. There we go. That is the current wording, but we're still looking at input for that and discussing how to specifically phrase that, what data we would really like to see to help a future review to make a better review of that. That ends my section.
Thank you very much. And the next section is internationalized domain name registration data, essentially allowing a registrant to input contact information and rely. Sorry, is there a problem?
Roker, your microphone.
Thank you. Essentially allowing a registrant to input information in their own script and language, obviously, which does not work currently with the 7-bit ASCII WHOIS information we have right now. The recommendation consisted of three different parts. The first one to essentially understand what has to be done. The second one is to look at translation, transliteration, that is, make the information more accessible to someone who is working in an ASCII environment and an English environment. And the third one is to provide metrics to make sure that we understand what's going on. In summary, all of the work has been done that could be done, given that we still have a 7-bit ASCII WHOIS. We have not implemented RDAP universally. So right now we cannot store the data, we cannot access the data, but a lot of the preparation has been done through a number of studies and a PDP. The Accuracy Reporting System, ARS, will address metrics if and when we ever get internationalized data stored. And that's the summary of where we are right now. Thank you. There are no recommendations associated with it. And where are we? The next section is on plans and annual reports, and that goes back to Susan.
Thank you. I'm just filling in for Lily Sun that couldn't be here today. So just to do this quickly, this relates to plans and reports on WHOIS, and we found that the board agreed that the WHOIS should be a strategic priority and directed the CEO to incorporate a work plan. But there was no mapping between the budget and the plan, so it's not clear what extent budget and resources were allocated. And then the WHO is Improvement Annual Reports provides an overview of WHO is policy development, but are activity-based rather than outcome-based and do not include figures and analysis as recommended. So we on to 54, please. We have been, you know, the subgroup came to the conclusion this was partially implemented, and the draft recommendation is the ICANN board should develop guidelines for plans and reports, feasibility study, budget resources, et cetera, and risk management should be introduced into planning stages. The annual WHO is report should follow a well-designed template to reflect measurable outcomes and give insights into the execution of the plan. We don't have consensus on this. We're still talking about it, so there were concerns. And
thank you, Susan. The next section, this goes, we're now finished the review of the original WHO is One recommendations and looking at the other things that we have been considering. The next section goes under the, can we have the next slide, please? Goes under the imaginative name, Anything New, and essentially that was looking at all of the implementations, both as a result of PDPs or negotiation, that have happened since the first WHO is review. In summary, and next slide just to show you how complex this could be, in summary, we have found that most of the work that has happened since the last WHO is does not have a significant impact on WHO is in terms of things that we consider we need to address. There are a few areas where we feel that recommendations are warranted. They fit very comfortably into other areas, either compliance or outreach, I believe, and we will be incorporating any of those recommendations that get through by the, you know, that are still there by the time we finish our final work, will be incorporated into the other sections, just because they make more sense. They're not necessarily going to be directly related to the past WHO is recommendations, but they're very closely coupled to those sections. And that is everything for anything new. The next section is law enforcement needs, and Thomas Walton.
Thank you, Alan. For law enforcement needs, what the subgroup considered, they reviewed the objective, and consistent with ICANN's mission and bylaws, the review team assessed the extent to which the implementation of today's WHO is meets the legitimate needs of law enforcement for swiftly accessible, accurate, and complete data. And we did this through various ways, and by establishing a working definition of law enforcement, which the review used, identifying an approach to use to determine the extent to which these needs were being met by today's WHO is policies, and finally by identifying high priority gaps and looking at stop measures in order to kind of oversee or get over those law enforcement gaps. The subgroup itself decided to submit a survey to various people within the realm of law enforcement and public safety. And what we did is survey will attempt to ascertain the impact that WHO is services and databases have, the impact that it has upon public safety, its capabilities, and its operations. The survey questions, which there are 25 of, include but aren't limited to whether the agency utilizes WHO is, which is very important, how often, and what they hope to accomplish by doing so. And then there was also the survey targets included law enforcement and public safety investigators, analysts, and policymakers who use WHO is in furtherance of their assigned duties and tasks. Next slide, please. Thank you. The subgroup plans to conduct a survey during the month of July. The survey results will be analyzed and reflected in the first draft report. The subgroup also expects the results will provide insights concerning participants' usage of WHO is, some insights into the impact of the current WHO is status quo, and also the means by which they may be utilized if WHO is no longer available. And that's what we have for law enforcement needs.
Thank you, Thomas. The next section is on consumer trust, and Erica Mann.
Thank you so much, Alan. Now, that's an interesting subgroup because, surprisingly, we found very little information about consumer trust. Now, the name is mentioned many times, but when you then really evaluate the information and the content and the context, there's very little precise information. So we relied on the previous review, which is actually has a quite good summary. So consistent with ICANN mission and bylaws section 4, 5, and 6, the review team will assess the extent to which the implementation of today's WHOIS, the current GTLD RDS, promotes consumer trust and GTLD domain names by A, agreeing upon a working definition of consumer, and consumer trust used in this review, identifying the approach used to determine the extent to which consumer trust needs are met, and identifying high priority gaps, if any, in meeting those needs, and recommending specific measurable steps, if any, the team believes are important to fill gaps. So that's the basis. And our group evaluated the 2012 various reports, and we looked into different findings as well. And I think what we will do is the following, and we came to the conclusion that we will review all the reports from the different subgroups in particular, and will then identify specific consumer trust gaps. So we will do a gap analysis based on the information which we have found either in the 2012 and in other reports or in the findings from the other subgroups. Now, there's one thing you have to be aware. We use a very broad definition of consumer and consumer trust. And the reason is very simple. Our argument that in potentially all users, internet users, are or can become domain name users. So, that's a little bit vague definition or vague reason why we are doing this. But nonetheless, we believe it's appropriate for our environment. Now, let me go to the last one where you can see some of the more precise recommendation we may want to make. Please keep in mind, because of the gap analysis we still have to do, we might come to a little bit different conclusion at the very end. So if we could see page 65, please. So to address the issues, the subgroup drafted the following recommendations. ICANN should request from resellers more clear information, including the recommendation to include relevant information on their website. We then talk about a location where this might be done. And ICANN must ensure that RAA provides updated information concerning relevant topics in relation to consumers and WHOIS obligations. That's an interesting point. We evaluated, we came during our discussion in particular of a lack of information from resellers in relation to consumers. And we then evaluated different their websites, and it's indeed true information is. Some have very precise information. For some, it's sometimes very difficult for consumers to access information. I wouldn't say you can't find it, but it's quite complicated. And when you're not very familiar in using such kind of web pages and not very familiar with reseller practices, it's not easy for an ordinary user actually to find the information you're looking for. So we may want to make some recommendation there without being bureaucratic or recommending everything has to be similar, just to be able to do an evaluation and then be a little bit more precise about this. Alan, back to you.
Thank you very much. And the last section is safeguarding registrant data, and that's one of mine. Next slide. The summary of the current situation is we make everything public. We don't safeguard anything. It's a really easy analysis. Clearly, going forward, there are data will be more private, and therefore, in terms of safeguarding, whatever safeguarding means, and that's not clear, it probably will get better. However, there are two other aspects of safeguarding, and that is to make sure that it's not not only not accessed by someone who shouldn't have it, but not changed? And how do we protect data? And we found that if you look at the contract that ICANN has with escrow providers, they do specify this essentially in very simple, very general language, but specify that standards must be used in terms of safeguarding the data to protect the data against changes or unauthorized access as applicable. There is no such contractual terms associated with the registrar or registry agreements, and we will likely be making a recommendation that that be considered. The other aspect of it is what happens on a breach, if a breach is discovered. As we could find no evidence that any of the contracts require that the organization notify ICANN, or in the case of escrow providers, notify the registry or registrar that a breach has been has occurred or a breach has been noticed. And we will be making a recommendation in that area also. And that's it. That concludes the overall presentation. I'm sorry we did go about 20 minutes over what we planned, but we still have a half hour now, and I'd like to open the floor to questions.
Kathy Kleiman, and thank you for your work. I was vice chair of the first Who Is Review team, and I'm not sure we ever thought every word we wrote would be analyzed the way it is. So thank you. I wanted to talk about data accuracy and a little bit about our crazy reference to the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Council and the crazy term substantial fail and full fail. And these are really terms, and I wanted to share, and I wanted to see if we're on the same page, that the University of Chicago defined these really as undeliverable, unable to find or interview the registrant. It didn't mean figuring out who the registrant was. It didn't mean figuring out if I'm Kathy Kleiman or Domain Name Rights Coalition or ENIAC Programmers Project. It just meant, could you reach me? Could you reach me by telephone or by email in case there was a technical problem or a legal problem? And so that was what we considered to be kind of what we should be going through. I went back to that report. About 80% of registrants were contactable then, and we thought it should be more. The 2013 RAA really made this a priority. It made verification, checking the phone number or the email address, depending on which one was considered a little less privacy sensitive. Turns out that cell phones in the United States are very privacy sensitive, but email addresses in Europe are very privacy sensitive. So whichever one was a little less, because that was going to be published. And I wanted to know if you guys had found out or had seen the information about how successful this program was. Because when it was rolled out, and I'm not making this number up, 800,000 domain names were taken down as part of the verification process. And I wanted to know if you had gotten that information. It was presented by the registrars in London at the London meeting of ICANN, taken down because they didn't reach full fail or substantial fail. During the verification, they were taken down. This included public interest groups, hospitals, because it was hard to initiate this program and it was hard to get that information through. Somebody getting an email from a registrar when they had registered through a reseller might not know. So really good faith efforts were taken, and it seems like we've probably achieved this one in many ways, because the telephone number or the email address of all new registrants must be accurate or you don't get that domain name. So I just wanted to share from the perspective of someone who helped write this that, you know, contactability, that was the goal, and it looks like it's been achieved, and it looks like it's been achieved at great cost. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I'm told we're not using the traditional timer here, but there's a red card being held up here that everyone has to watch. And we are allowing 2 minutes. Does anyone want to respond to Kathy, or is it, I think, just a statement?
Thank you, Kathy. That's good information. I think that will be helpful in our further discussion. And I would like to confirm that that impression that you had, that we've made great strides in improving the ability of third parties to contact registrants with the improvements that we've made. And we had some cases, our registrar, not so many, but other registrars, quite a few where this program led to unfortunate events of deactivating domain names that were legitimately registered simply because the registrant did not answer in time because of the requirements, the very strict requirements that the RIA foresaw. So there has been some cost to that program, and it might be worthwhile revisiting the requirements of checking the accuracy of some the data points, the verification aspect of the RAA. But we feel that with that we have fulfilled our part in the data accuracy recommendation of the WHOIS review to one, at least as registrars.
Thank you. Microphone number two.
My question is really about law enforcement agencies and how it's defined. Now, there are traditional definitions, your cop on the beat or your intelligence agency and so forth, but there's a whole industry of people who, in one way or another, actually try to discover scams or whatever. So how far does your definition reach outside of a traditional definition? And I know that's hard. Differs between countries. And I think that's an important one because, in fact, we're probably going to face those same definitional questions with the GDPR. Thank you.
Thomas?
I believe the definition is going to be defined more so by the actual agency address itself. I know a lot of times we have portals that are set up to access to get this information. And so the law enforcement agency itself would set up, would have a portal set up that would come back to that law enforcement address. So it would be the people that work for that public safety agency or that law enforcement agency that would go, that would use that route to access to WHOIS.
Certainly from the point of view of what we're looking at traditional law enforcement, not the various people who do interesting things regarding cyber problems. Number one, please.
Thank you. We have three questions and one comment from remote attendees. Would you like me to read them all and pause in between for you to answer?
Sure.
Okay. So the first question is from Steve Metalitz regarding slide 29. Aren't registrars that have executed the 2013 RAA, nearly all of them, required to apply it to all registrations they sponsor, whether or not originally registered prior to 2013?
I believe the answer is there is a grandfather clause which allows some to not be subject to it. Susan, do you want to refine?
Yeah. So in the ARS, WHOIS ARS report, they define them. It says ICANN will account for grandfathered records, which are those records that were created prior to the effective date of the 2013 RAA for that registrar. So it doesn't matter when the registrar signed the contract. If the domain names were already created, then they adhered to the RAA requirements when they were the domain registration was created, not what has, you know, gone into place after.
Thank you. Next.
The next question is, again, from Steve Metalitz. Why did the team conclude that Recommendation 10 has been fully implemented when the consensus policy on privacy proxy service accreditation adopted by the board in 2016 has not yet been implemented? Indeed, a proposed implementation plan has not even been presented yet for public comment.
May I try?
We had significant discussion over this. And the recommendation was to implement a policy, and in fact, the policy has been adopted by the board. It is not yet implemented, and that's why we, in fact, do have some recommendations that will likely come out of it and a number of comments. It's partly a matter of terminology, and there could be an argument made for why we call it not implemented because it's not implemented yet, and we will likely have a footnote or something like that in the report. It's a matter of nomenclature, and it's not clear that one is right and one is wrong. At least that's the position we've taken in any case. Comment, the next one.
The next one is from a question from John McCormick saying, resellers or registrars? ICANN does not have a direct commercial relationship with resellers.
I'm not sure what that's in context with.
It's the context to the consumer trust. We are aware about this. We just want to be clear because we had a long debate and that in particular information from reseller is quite poor. So we just want to ensure that this is captured somewhere. And definitely if you want to have a broader understanding and about consumer and consumer trust, that's the only reason. We are fully aware about the point you are making.
And maybe just one addition. The way that ICANN has traditionally handled this question is to require the registrar to ensure that their resellers are acting in compliance with the RAA. Therefore, all requirements that apply to resellers have to be enforced by the registrar.
Thank you. Number four.
I'd like to return briefly to, this is Reg Levy from Two Cows for the Record. I'd like to return briefly to recommendation 4.3 and the philosophical thinking behind it because I'm concerned about the technical implementation of it. I'm not entirely certain, for example, how or why a suspended domain name because of lack of response from the registrant should have its information updated without input from that registrant, and what information the working group suggests be put into its place. We often have registrants who don't respond to the Who is Inaccuracy request because the information is inaccurate. And so when we suspend their domain name, they reach out to us. So I'm sure that there are also instances where bad faith registrants are suspended and then bad faith registrars unsuspend the domain name after a period of time. But I just would like a little bit more clarity on that if possible.
Susan? I would like to make a comment on that. Basically, the question here that was debated on that point was that for an outside party, it's not recognizable why a domain name is suspended. If a domain name is suspended because of Hugh's inaccuracy, then the thinking was that was discussed at the subgroup level that that it should be shown for in some form or shape, and that the information that was found inaccurate was would be removed or updated. However, there are certain issues with that that are still under discussion. For example, a suspension for Hugh's inaccuracy may not mean that the domain is the information is actually inaccurate. It just may mean that the registrant has not responded to an inaccuracy verification request or something like that. So there are still elements of that that are under discussion, and the language here is still very much unformed.
Susan?
And just to add on to that, oftentimes domain names are suspended. It could be for phishing, for malware, all kinds of things, abuse, right? So we don't know whether it's inaccurate, but a lot of times when, you know, if it is inaccuracy, it should be indicated that that's why it was suspended. Also, when you have inaccurate data and an abuse case at the same time, then that leaves that registrant data in there, which is not, you know, not accurate, left to reside and shown to the public. Now we don't may not have that problem anymore. GDPR may have fixed this, but I found many cases in my previous work that the company's names were associated with abusive domain names that were suspended for phishing or spam or malware or whatever, but it said, oh, this is this company. And so, you know, it's just misleading, and it seems like if it's inaccurate, it should not reside in the data. And but if you can't look it up on because of GDPR, might be mute.
Thank you. Number three, please.
Mark Swanzerich, Microsoft, also Universal Acceptance Steering Group. So regarding the ICANN Whois portal and internationalized domain names, I think it was issue 11, I was surprised at how quickly you moved past that issue and said, well, we just don't support it. I guess that's whatever, and kind of moved on. Being in the Universal Acceptance Steering Group, that bothered me a little bit. And so I actually took one of our test domains that we use. It's a Hindi domain to verify the behavior. And what I noticed is it's not just that you can't return the data in any form. The portal actually says the domain doesn't exist, which is, you know, pretty much unacceptable, I think, behavior from the portal. Whereas if you went to whois.com, it would say, yes, this domain belongs to DataSys in India. Okay.
Are you describing your problem where because the domain name is an IDN name, it doesn't recognize it?
Yes, IDNs can be expressed both as Unicode strings and in Punicode strings, and in both cases, I would expect the Punicode string at the very least to be queryable, but in fact, it was not.
You're describing a bug.
Yeah.
The IDN, they're called IDN recommendations, but in some context, but they're not IDN recommendations. They're international domain name data recommendations, that is, the contents of the data fields. If the portal is not responding to an IDN domain name, it's broken. And
yeah.
Please give us the information.
Okay, yeah.
We'll pass it on.
I'll pass it on.
We glibly ignore it because ICANN has done everything they can at this point to prepare for internationalized data to reside in the portal, in the RDS record, once the RDS record actually can hold internationalized data.
Okay, it just occurred to me that if we weren't testing it, we would miss bugs like this. So.
I'm sorry, Carlton wants to make a comment. Go ahead.
Yes, part of the problem might be the transliteration. The codex that they use is not fully implemented. I've heard people say this. So maybe that is the reason for it. And that's why we are looking at focusing on the translation engine to see if that can be improved.
I think the situation he's describing is the data is currently in ASCII, but we can't even get to it because the portal isn't recommended. Yeah, that's a different problem than the one we're looking at, but nevertheless an interesting problem. Number two, please.
I'm Peter Koch, speaking on my own behalf. I would like to comment on draft recommendation 4.8, but first I have a clarifying question that the response might render my remark void. Can I safely assume, it is slide 33, by the way, can I safely assume that the mentioning of DAAR refers to the domain abuse activity reporting that is conducted by the Octo team?
That's the one.
Thank you. So then to the substance. The blacklist, which is basically what is researched here, many of them do not provide any accountability at all. So I'm a bit surprised to find reference to such a tool in sections that deals with compliance. And so the subgroup that reached consensus on this part might want to elaborate a bit on this very accountability aspect. And then as a side remark, the final sentence in that recommendation doesn't really read like a recommendation, but like an advertisement, and the subgroup might consider striking that out. Thank you.
Thank you on the last point. Noted. And Susan, do you have any comment on the first part?
Yes, on the DAR data, you know, ICANN, you know, is providing transparency there, and there's all kinds of data that might be used. Whether or not, you know, that data is valid or vetted, that's something we should, you know, we could look into with the CTO's office.
Thank you. Number three, please.
Thanks. Michele, for the record. Draft recommendation 4.7. Following a valid WHOIS-ARS ticket or WHOIS inaccuracy complaint, initiate a full audit targeting the relating registrar to check if the registrar follows the contractual obligations, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea who wrote that, but that is absolutely insane. I'm sorry, that is nuts. If you have data and proof of systemic issues with a particular registrar and you want to trigger an audit, that's fine. I have absolutely no issue with that whatsoever, and in fact I would encourage it. But triggering a full audit of a registrar based on a single complaint is offensive, to be perfectly honest. It's overkill. It's a massive waste of resources. It's open to abuse. Let's say, for example, I compete against Key Systems. So I go off, I register a domain name with Key Systems, and I provide completely dodgy data as part of that registration. Using one of my sock puppets, I use a VPN, whatever. This is not particularly hard to do. I can then go off using another bloody sock puppet and another dodgy email address and an IP address from another part of the globe. I can then go off and lodge an inaccuracy complaint. And then I can then tie up Key Systems compliance department, legal department in knots, and ICANN's compliance department in knots for something which is completely spurious. Now, there are registrars out there who do not do a particularly good job. There are registries who do not do a particularly good job. There are criminals, there are scumbags, there are many issues on the internet. Triggering a full audit of a registrar based on one complaint is not the way to fix that. That is a perfectly good example of how ICANN can be systemically flawed, and it is the kind of recommendation that will negate the rest of your work.
Thank you, Michaela. I agree, and we are still debating that one. This is still highly contentious. This is a part of the subgroup. This has not been discussed on the full group level, and I am pretty certain that there will be lots of changes to that.
We'll let Susan go first.
No, we just put that one in there for Michaela because it's really good to see him go off.
I can't see the number of your microphone.
Number three.
Turn on three, please. Thank you.
So this is like one of those canary type things or whatever they call it. So what do they call it? A warrant canary or I don't know. So you're trolling me, Susan. Thank you.
Well, we couldn't be sure you'd be in the room, but
I didn't write.
Well, you were pretty sure that one of us would be. No, I mean seriously, dealing with systemic issues where contracted parties are not doing their job is one thing. But it's, you know, there's other things. If you look at some of the work they're doing in the CCT review and elsewhere, looking at trends versus picking on single instances, it's something that can be done, but you need to be careful how you do it. You need to make sure that you aren't putting a ridiculous burden on one or two actors who actually haven't really done anything wrong, as it were, while you're letting the more sophisticated scumbag just keep on doing their business. I mean, if you look at the bankers that led to the global crisis, how many of them went to jail? Very, very few. How many of them do we know brought countries to their knees? A much larger number. And it's the same with this kind of thing. We need to be careful when we're dealing with these things, and just think about it from a pragmatic perspective. ICANN has a finite amount of resources. The registrars and registries have finite resources. There are people who will try to abuse our systems, and that'll happen. And we do our best to clean it up, but putting us on the rack and stretching us out like that over one or two complaints is not a good way of getting what you want.
Michaela, I'll put my chair's hat on. I could say that we just put it in there to see if anyone was still awake. I think you've made your case pretty well. I'll give the appropriate answer. Noted. Next question. Do we have any more questions? We have 3 more minutes in the session.
Say something nice to the end. Let's go to the cocktail.
No, we have someone reaching for a sign, but he's not seen. Number two.
Michael Graham, one quick note, and actually Michaela just brought it up. In looking for data about consumer trust, I wonder if you've looked at the work that the CCT review team has been doing, because they've really been trying to focus on that, and I know they faced difficulty, but they may have found some that would be useful for you.
Yeah. The short answer is yes.
but they're looking at consumer trust of the TLDs, not necessarily who is. But yes, we are paying careful attention.
This report was very good and helpful. Thank you.
Number two again, and we're down to our last minute or so.
Just a note, I did, having read both the initial and the draft interim report, the definition of consumer trust is still not cleverly, it's not even clearly defined. So it's another piece of work that clearly has to be done.
Last call.
Yeah, it's correct. There's a reason for it, because we want to do the gap analysis.
And exactly.
And we're waiting for another report, which comes out, I think, from your team in a week's time or so, I heard. So we will do it and we'll be ready at time.
All right. I thank you very much. We do have an address. I'm not sure if it's in the draft. In the document, in an email address that you can send things into us. So when you get a chance to read through the whole presentation, and there's far more than there here that we can talk through and present, your comments and input is welcome. And of course, there will be a draft report issued early August and should be out for comment for about 2 months, and plenty of opportunity. Thank you.